This is an Energy Sport podcast. Insightful, in-depth and entertaining sports content from Napier to you. This is the Fantasy Ramble, the best student-run FPL show in the country. Join our panel as they take you through the biggest fixtures from each Premier League game week, giving you their advice on how to succeed in your FPL mini-leagues. Expect in-depth discussion, wild takes and plenty of laughs right here on the Fantasy Ramble. Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble, Energy Sports flagship FPL show. My name is Jack Dong and it's been a while since you've heard my voice in this show. We had a bit of technical difficulties a couple of weeks back and we missed out last week entirely. So it's a pleasure to be bringing this podcast back from me personally. The man that stood in for me 2 weeks back, Cameron Wonstall, did an excellent job filling in. So much so that he's back again today as a panellist. Cam, it's lovely to have you here.
Sorry, I was on mute. Hello. Yes, thanks for having me.
Anytime, mate. How are you keeping? You all right?
I'm smashing, mate. Having a good day. What about yourself?
I'm not doing too badly at all. Sun's shining down in Troon. I know I'm stealing another panellist's thunder with that, but it's just a nice looking Friday outside. And
absolutely.
I'm going to spend some time in the garden after this podcast. That's the plan.
Well, love that, mate.
The man's thunder I absolutely did just steal by talking about the weather was our own Struan Garvey, who's here. Struan, how you doing, mate?
I'm rather gutted, Jack. You've just stolen my line.
I'm sorry. Well, Cam asked me how it was doing, and the sun's shining. I'm always happy when the sun's shining, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's okay. To be honest, I don't mind having a break from being the weatherman.
I mean, it's kind of your brand, that energy sport at the moment, though. So, I mean, do you want to try finding something else? Is there something else in your wheelhouse that you might want to throw at as something else we can identify you with?
Nah, not really. Yeah, it's just the weather for me.
Fair enough. I'll give you that then. No, I'll back off ever speaking about the weather again and let Struan have that monopolised almost. Finally, our final contestant today is in a horrible mood because he feels there is a campaign against him in our group chat for accumulating red cards. Taylor Murray, are you going to grow up?
No, it's an absolute farce. You know, it's against me. It's just, if I had to make that mistake, everybody would jump on it. I'm not having it, and I'm just not happy.
Yeah. Well, we bring the mood of the show down. I thought me, Cam and Struan were all quite...
Well, do I know it? Somebody else get a red card, and I instantly will be happy. Like, I'll be the happiest man ever. So, you know what to do. Just what will you do it?
I won't. I mean, I don't know if one of the other two wants to step up, but I will not be doing that.
Nope.
It's down to Struan to see whether Taylor's actually going to be happy today or not.
Sorry, I was reading something on Twitter there. What's the...
Struan's nominated himself. Thank you, Struan. Please, thank you.
Well, let's let Taylor's delusion just kind of warm its way out of his brain. How are you feeling about fantasy right now? I've not really had the chance to speak to the three of you about it for a few weeks. I mean, heading into the final kind of eight games or so of the season. Cam, I take it you're feeling quite comfortable sitting at the top of the table.
I don't know, like, in our, like, private league drafts, quite close. What am I in the public league? I'm third, but I'm a little bit behind Matty and Brian. Yeah, comfortable, but disappointed. I had a shocking week last week. I got 39 points, which is lower than the whole average. So, yeah, I was really annoyed last week. But this week, quietly confident. And I'm cruising the private league, so hopefully I can take home that championship.
You are cruising it. Over 100 points ahead of Raf in second place. There doesn't really seem to be much else to play for, because he's then over 100 points ahead of Jamie, who's been third before. You get me in fourth.
Yeah. It's a fight for the Champions League spots, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, would you split up an eight-team league to... Three Champions League spots?
Yeah, yeah. One Europa. Aye, that would work, yeah. So, and then bottom place relegation.
I mean, that's sitting with Sean at the moment.
I think he'll be okay with that.
I think he's happy with that, considering his abhorrence towards this game. Struan, what about yourself? I mean, are you planning a wee kind of late break up the table?
It all comes down to what Timo decides.
No, it doesn't. I'm adamant that Timo Werner's form in the Premier League this season is down to you refusing to move him from your fantasy team because you're that stubborn.
Well, sorry, Timo, he's going nowhere. And a little bit of an early spoiler for this episode. He is once again my captain. I
hate you.
I hate Timo Werner. I don't actually. I love him.
I mean, clearly, he's not shifted at your team for basically
the entire day season. One, I think he's been in my team.
Dude, my team's named after him and I don't even have him in my team anymore.
My team's named after Donny van de Beek and I don't think he's ever been in my team.
That's a fair point. And Taylor, your team's named after Alex Tellez, so, but you've got the other Man United left back in your team just now.
Yeah, I've got the better left back in.
Yeah, I
do. Luke Skyshocker.
That's, oh God. Oh,
I love that.
No.
That was my fantasy team name last season.
You've changed them like you changed clothes, Struan, honestly.
Do you know, I have a notes on my phone. I've got a note set up and I started this halfway through high school or something like that, in which every time I see a good fantasy or like a FIFA Ultimate Team name that's really catchy, I've just added it to the list and it's just sort of built up over the years of random fantasy team names that I've seen and used. And it's great because as more players break onto the scene, there's more creative freedom to make up new team names.
Definitely Egg Fried Rice is in there.
Egg fried rice. Do you know what my personal favourite, which I discovered a couple of weeks ago, was Bruno Fernandes.
I don't get it.
Of course, he's Portuguese as well, and Nando's that is a Portuguese fits, origin, yeah, so it's a very good name.
I've seen one, Lingardium Leviosa. I really enjoyed that one. That's
excellent.
Oh no!
Do you want some more while we're here?
Give us a couple, then. Go on, indulges.
All right. So we've got Obama Yang,
as in Barack Obama. Okay.
Yep. The Walking Fred.
He might as well be walking the lack of running. He does a bit of pitch. Ha ha! That was a bad joke. Move on, quick.
Donna Rumham. That's a bit of a Sunny in Philadelphia reference. If anybody gets
love
that.
That.
It's fantastic. Oh, what's the last one? Shawshank Redemption is one.
As in Luke Shaw.
As in Luke Shaw.
I had a play on that for when we did the Scottish fantasy game, like at the start of the season. That was Shawshank's and Redemption.
That's a good one.
That was mine. Just can't seem to let the ties go over there. Go on then.
Obi-Wan Bissaka.
That was my ultimate team name last FIFA.
What is it this FIFA?
It's still just Shield FC.
Oh, no, that's boring. You need to have Flight Minds, Peaky Blinders.
That's been around since the beginning of time, Peaky Blinders, man,
yeah,
honestly.
That's just standard, what, I love it.
What about what? Hanging by a Fred?
Yeah.
Show me the money.
Control Alt Delete.
Yeah, that's quite good. I thought me and Sean had quite good ones for the Bundesliga fantasy game, and like this time last year, he had Hoos Royce, which I found really fun, and then added Hollandaise Sauce, which I stand by. I think that was one of my.
I didn't think I had one for the gym. I couldn't think of one. And, like,
you did
just...
same old Alawa, but translated.
I had
the
same old Alawa. Yeah. Oh, you so did.
What was mine? Do you know, I think I took my Premier League fantasy one and didn't realise that we were just supposed to swap.
Yeah. Because Scott McTominay clearly plays in the Bundesliga.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what it was called?
I got one for this, though. So it's all good, boys.
It's all good, yeah.
It's all good.
Henry Hoiver. That's a niche one. It's a really niche one because not many people
can
pick up on
you have to notice that it's spelled
Hoiver.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Timu Bookies?
Forever as well, same as Peaky Blinders, but Gerard Sandstorm.
That was mine last year. Favorite. That was mine last year.
Seeing you had it, I was like, I like that. I don't think I'd seen it before you'd done that.
I always try and kind of like tailor mine to a Chelsea player. Just and I was struggling. I wanted a new signing this from the window there. So I mean, in Netflix and Chilwell did kind of spring to mind, but Werner Brothers is. If he'd been playing better, I think it would have been a better one. But
no, what's annoying, Jack, is that when I'd done that one, he played for Liverpool and they signed for Wolves like 2 weeks later. So that's what really annoyed me. I'm keeping it.
Right. Oh. Now that we're all caught up, I think we're going to get stuck into our first segment of today's show. The three biggest fixtures of the weekend, all detailed in premium picks. And premium picks is our segment where we look at, in our opinion, the three biggest games from the upcoming batch of fixtures. The game we're going to start with is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in North London this Sunday at 4:30. Spurs are taking on Manchester United. Tottenham are looking for a win after they failed to do so away at Newcastle last weekend, where a last-minute Joe Willock equaliser snatched the Magpies a point, whereas United won it late on at home to Graham Potter's Brighton after going down 1-0 earlier in the game. Now, I feel like people keep forgetting about this, about these two teams this season, but the reverse fixture at Old Trafford produced one of the kind of most ridiculous results of the season.
Has anyone forgotten about it, though?
I think they have, because it was then followed up by Villa 7, Liverpool 2.
Oh, yeah, true.
That was just a day of prime Barclays entertainment.
I think I was playing Rocket League with Taylor that day, because I had to stop watching the United game at half-time and just kept on being told that another one's gone in, and it was just, oh.
It was just DJ Khaled in your text. Just another one.
Just another one.
Just another one. How do you think this game's going to go then, Stroom? I can't imagine it going a similar way, but do you think United will be able to do enough to get a win over Spurs? Keep in mind that they'll only have had 2 days rest.
I think it'll be incredibly tough for United given the extra rest that Tottenham have, and I think the incentive that Tottenham have. This is. I know they have the League Cup, but that's not for another few weeks. So, without Europa League and FA, this is sort of all they've got now is the league and to get that top four, and they should be in the top four, but they sort of threw that away to Newcastle at the end of last week. So. I think they will have the motivation. We know Jose is a shithouse at times like these, and he will do everything he can to get that win over Man United, probably pat Solskjaer on the head again. And yeah, just even at the end of the game last night, as we're recording this in the Europa League against Granada, United just looked so tired. And it's just been the case all season that the players honestly look like they could sleep for a week after every game, and you just sort of think, how have they got to travel all the way back to the UK and get ready for a game in 2 days against Tottenham Hotspur? It's crazy.
Cam, what do you reckon coming into this one? Because, I mean, we can talk about United having the fatigue and everything, and Struan's right, they have been looking tired for a few weeks, but they're still consistent. They're still being very, very consistent. They've not lost. They've only lost once, I believe, in all competitions since January, and that was the 3-1 loss in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup to Leicester. They've been winning and drawing every week otherwise. So we all know kind of the inconsistencies that Spurs are going through. So kind of on paper, you would have United down as favourites for this one, surely.
I actually did think that before we came on, but just as we're talking just now, I looked up like the game online. It says here that United have only won one of their last 8 away Premier League matches against Spurs. Ooh. And that was in 2019. So just even looking at that stat alone, it just makes you think, maybe not an inferiority complex, that's a bit ridiculous to say, but it seems like United really do struggle going down to Tottenham. And I don't know, I think Tottenham may have a decent run of fixtures coming up. I need to double check. But I just think this could, if Tottenham get a result here, they could just keep going on and on. I don't know, it's not about Man U. Now that I'm really thinking about it, I just don't think they'll put up much of a show in here. And I think Tottenham can maybe do the double over them this season.
I mean, it's an interesting point, especially because United's away record has been so good this season. I mean, Struan's spoken about that a lot, but I don't know. Spurs are nowhere near as dominant. They've not been as dominant as they were on that day back in October. And considering the kind of lack of goals, they've not been scoring as freely. I mean, we've seen results from them. They've kind of gone 4-0, 5-0, 4-0 in like consecutive weeks or something like that. But they're not really scoring as freely anymore. And I don't know why that is. I mean, Bale's not really, he's not been starting the last few games. I mean, is Kane just getting run into the ground? Is Son just kind of far off the pace? Like, what do you reckon is going wrong at Spurs at the moment?
It's a tough one, eh? I don't know. I think maybe their bubble might burst before the end of the season again. But I think, personally, they'll get a result here against United. I just have a feeling. Is that because I brought Harry Kane in this week? I don't know. But we'll leave that till the end of the episode.
Absolutely. Taylor, let's talk about players that you might want to be bringing in or shipping out. I think it's a difficult one for people, because if you're me, you've got a Man United defender in. I mean, I've got Adam Abasaka. I know other people in the league have got like Harry Maguire. You've got Luke Shaw yourself. But then others, and potentially in the same team, you've got Kane, Son, Bale, whoever from kind of the forward line. So how do you really kind of want to balance this? I mean, is there clean sheet potential for Man United, or are you almost kind of hedging your bets that Kane or Son will come up with a goal or two?
It's a very, very difficult tie to predict like that, because you could either go one way where this is like 0-0, and then you're like, oh, well, defenders would have been key. Or you go, as we seen last time, where Spurs, demolish United 6-1, and, like, it was just so unpredictable. Like, that was I was going to say unprecedented, but, exactly that weekend we seen 7-2, so yeah. It was just a weird weekend for football. I think there's a good balance to have. If you're really unsure about how this is going to go, I'd avoid defenders and just put attackers in, because you can't go wrong with that. But I've took all my Spurs players out, because Mourinho ball and the Spurs have not been firing at all really much. So I've kind of stuck with United players, and I've got Luke Shaw and Bruno Fernandes in my team. Mm-hmm. But with Luke Shaw being like a 75% chance of playing, I don't know if he will, start, or if, Solskjaer will chuck Telles in. So it's a gamble if you want to stick him in. But either way, I'd probably, if you want clean sheets and maybe a possible attacking return, go for Wan-Bissaka, or take that gamble on, Luke Shaw if you feel like you need the points to, get up that leaderboard.
It's tough. I mean, I'm looking at my team just now, and the way I've not made my transfer or anything yet, so I'm definitely going to have to do that at some point. But I mean, you look at it, Fernandes and Wan-Bissaka, I'd imagine, are two of the most common players. But Struan, you'll know more than us in terms of Luke Shaw. Like, is he likely to play tomorrow? I mean, he's marked down as kind of 75%, as Taylor said, for the game as it stands. But do you reckon he'll push through that, or do you reckon they'll kind of switch to Alex Tellez for this game?
Well, he came off at half-time last night in the Europa League, but I think that is a precaution, because he's going to be suspended for the next leg against Granada, so I think Tellez will be playing that one anyway. So I'd imagine Luke Shaw will probably play this game, just given the other circumstances that are going on, and just given how big a game it is. I think he's just an argument that he is Man United's player of the season, even past Bruno Fernandes, so I think his importance will definitely come into this one.
It's just tough. It is really tough. I know I'm just going to... I'm like a broken record at this point, but everything about Spurs recently, like, they're kind of so up and down, they're so inconsistent, they're not playing good football. Just, you don't want to kind of suggest that they're going to go and do something, but it's Mourinho against the top six. Like, he just has just a good track record with just about every team in the top six at any team he's managed. So it's one of these games he thrives in the kind of pressure, the animosity of it almost. So I don't know, it's hard to call, but we're going to have to make some calls, and we're going to come to our score predictions here. Struan, I'm going to get the feeling that you're not going to be optimistic about it.
2-1 Tottenham.
Yep, there it is. Who's your key player? Because I've kind of realised that saying key players is different to like a key fantasy player, because some players won't get points in fantasy. So who do you think is going to be the difference maker on the pitch in terms of securing Spurs that result?
I think Harry Kane will be. Possibly Højbjerg, if he can keep Bruno Fernandes quiet. But I think Harry Kane, honestly, is the difference for Spurs this season. We've seen when he hasn't played, they barely look like a top-half team. And then when he does play, they're Champions League, top-four type side. So I think Harry Kane is the difference maker for this team, both creating and scoring the goals.
And is he going to be your key FPL asset as well, then, considering?
Yeah, I would say so.
Taylor, what about you? How do you see this game panning out?
I see this game panning out 2-0 Man United, with Rashford getting on the score sheet with a standard Man United penalty. And Solskjaer.
But Bruno will take the penalty.
Ha. Yeah, that's all I've got to say for that. I'm not going to lie. It's just like, it's so predictable. Struan, you're negative. I'm positive, so which means I'm going to be right. Because every time you're negative about United, they win. So I see why you do it. I'm positive. So I like it when you go negative and I go positive, because it means it's going to be a good outcome. So 2-0 United. Penalty for United. Rashford to get the first goal. Put your money on it.
Put your money on it. So who's securing that victory for you? Is Rashford key player in both fantasy and the game? Or
In the game-wise, I'm actually going to say McTominay will probably be like that guy. For the key man, like, he will probably be that that guy who will solidify that midfield for United, and probably, do the dirty work, do a scene. I think he'll have a good game. But for fantasy wise, it's gonna be Bruno. It's like he's on the penalties. You know, Man United penalty chances go through the roof this season, and yeah, and you'll probably get the assist for Rashford's goal when it happens. So there you go. There's a nice wee 9 points for you, and 3 bonus points as well. So
oh, and the 3 bonus, of course, aye.
Yeah. So thank me later when that comes in.
Well, it's a bold claim to make, but we're full of them on this show. Cam, round us out here. What are you banking on for this game to finish as?
Funny you say bold claim, because I'm saying the exact same as Struan. I think it'll be 2-1 Tottenham, Harry Kane, the difference maker on the pitch, and the difference maker in FPL. That's what I believe.
I like that. I'm a big fan of that. Is that you're just banking on that because you've brought him in this week?
Absolutely. He's also my captain. So.
Oh, lovely. There we go.
I mainly got him in for the transfers. The game's coming up. I can discuss it later, but I got him in for the game's coming up. But yeah. I still think, I just have a feeling Tottenham will, you know what it's like, it's Mourinho, it's a shit house. They'll get like a penalty, Kane will take it, and he'll score. So yeah, that's mine. 2-1 and Kane, Keepler.
Lovely stuff. I'm going 2-1 United. Personally, I think I've got Wan-Bissaka marked in as my key man, because I think if he quietens Son down on the left-hand side, I believe it cuts off basically the most reliable source of Harry Kane's goals in terms of Son providing them. And I think it's going to be much easier to keep Kane quiet if Son's kept quiet. So I think he's going to be big in securing the result for United. But I think Marcus Rashford's going to have the most impact going forward, either chipping in with an assist or a goal, at least one. Right, on to the second game of our premium picks. We are going up north to Manchester, and we're going to be talking about the clash playing out at the Etihad. The City take on Leeds this Saturday in the lunchtime kickoff. It was wins for both in their last game, a 2-0 win away at Leicester for Manchester City, where Leeds looked a wee bit kind of shakier than usual in a 2-1 home win against Sheffield United. Now, Cam, I think we kind of spoke a bit about this fixture in the reverse, when it kind of produced a rare phenomenon in football, and it was an entertaining and interesting 0-0 between Guardiola and Bielsa, which makes sense considering the two coaches that are in charge of both teams.
Yeah.
Do we reckon it's going to be the same? Because I mean, it's such a kind of steamrolling it away at the title at the moment.
I really, for me, selfishly, I really hope so. Because I have 3 Leeds players I'm thinking about subbing on them, because I just don't trust Leeds to even get a goal here. But I don't know, maybe it could be like a 5-5, it could be the complete opposite. Either way, it's going to be an entertaining game. I don't know about the scoreline, but it's going to be an entertaining game. I don't think people should think about this one too much heading into FPL, because you can't predict it. Just pick players, don't pick players. I wouldn't get caught up in it, because no one can predict it, and if it goes wrong, you're just unlucky. That's it. You'll lose a few points, but like, I won't be kicking myself if my decisions go wrong for the Leeds players this week. It's a really tricky tie. I think maybe just because you're at home. I don't know. I'm back in City probably, but yeah, really tough game to call, isn't it?
I think it is. It's a tough one to call again. I mean, I feel the consistent theme so far in this episode that we are kind of picking tough games to call, because you just, Struan, you never know what leads you're going to get, really. I mean, they've been a bit more stop-start, a bit more sluggish recently. Just, I mean, you kind of would have thought they would have dominated and secured kind of greater victories over Fulham and Sheffield United in the last two games, but it was a lot tighter than I think many would have predicted. But when they're hot, they're on absolute fire. Like, do you know what I mean? When they're hot, they are absolutely roasting. So what kind of leads are you kind of almost anticipating from this weekend against City?
I think it'll just have to be attack, attack, attack for Leeds. You know, I think the whole way through this season, I just don't think their defence has been good enough. You know, they tend to capitulate when they do concede even one, but they do tend to have their luck when they just go for it. And I think, I fancy City to win this game regardless of what happens, but I think the best approach for Leeds is to just go, you know, all guns blazing at it, just try and score as many past City, almost just score more. You know, they score one against you, you score two against them type situation, because I do not fancy that defence to keep a clean sheet.
No, I mean, if there's one defence you would bank on not keeping a clean sheet away from Sheffield United's this season, it's Leeds. Like, the elite goals for fun, but they also score a lot of them, and we've seen that a lot this season. So, Taylor, what about yourself? I mean, you've had your thoughts explicitly stated on this podcast before about Patrick Bamford. They've since kind of flipped and flopped a fair bit like Neymar. So Where do you stand just now? I mean, would you back Bamford to kind of maybe secure a big goal for Leeds this weekend, or are you sticking with City?
See, if it was anyone else in the league, I would have said, yeah, I think he could, you know, bag one, but it's City. They are incredible. They are basically just insane when it comes to defending. They're just, like, unstoppable, and they're just hungry for success, and I can just see this only going one way. No, Leeds could probably put their ultimate best, and City will probably still, you know, scrape a 1-0 win, putting, like, bang average, and it would be, like, an injustice to football, but that's what good teams do. They just, you know, scrape out wins, and that's why they will undoubtedly be champions in May. But I can see this one, going with score-wise, I can see this one going to be relatively close to begin with, but then City is running away with it. Because as soon as Leeds concede one, they'll go hell-bent and making sure that they can try to get a win back, and that's when the floodgates will open. So in terms of, like, people that I'd look out for this, you know, your standard, your De Bruynes, your Mahrezes, maybe since this is farewell season with City, you know, Aguero, will he be getting more game time? Or will Jesus start? That's a difficult one. You know, Pep Rillet also plays a big part. So I'm just going to stick safe, by the way, and probably say put City defenders in, like your Diaz's, your Cancelos, and probably stick with whatever City attackers you've got, because you may as well just stick the lottery on and hope the fact is your number comes up.
I mean, who are you landing on for Pep Rillet this week? Who have you kind of settled on? Because I'd imagine you do have at least one City player in your team.
So, yeah, I've landed on Diaz because I've actually finally found a player that, you know, Guardiola trusts more than Anderson. So everybody, you know, is using him as the cheat code. But the other player I've actually settled on is bringing in, quite disgraceful of me, it's took until the 31st game of the season, or 32nd, but I've brought in De Bruyne. That's my transfer for this week.
Nice.
And so, watch them both get benched. Oh, and I've also got Ederson and goals, by the way, so I've got Ederson and Diaz. But watch, you know, two out of three get benched, and me just sitting there with my head in my hands like Warnock. Like, that's going to happen. So, that's who I'm relying on. But in terms of the game, I could probably see being the difference. Mahrez, like, whether he starts or comes off the bench, he makes a difference no matter what. But in terms of fantasy, go with Diaz. You know, get the clean sheet points, and never know, a wee header for a corner.
You never know. You just never know. You just are never going to know with Pep. It's just such a gamble, no matter what you're doing. I mean, it's a kind of safe gamble. It's almost a safe gamble to have, considering at least one of the players is going to be incredibly high quality and well play. But you just never know which ones are, which is the main difficulty of Pep Rillet, as we've spoken about many, 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 many times on this podcast before. Now, I'm struggling to think that I don't know if it is going to be a steamroll for City personally. I think the 0-0 early in the season kind of indicative of certainly the early season City. It was City that weren't really scoring as much, they weren't really securing results as easily. But it's still going to be a massive kind of battle between Guardiola and Bielsa. We know kind of how much Bielsa influenced Guardiola as a young coach and kind of coming through. So it's always just going to be interesting to see these two go at each other. And that's why I'm going to predict a narrow City win, a 1-0 to Man City, which seems a bit mental considering how kind of City are just ruthless when they get going. But I think Leeds are going to make it really difficult. I think they're going to have a lot of physical presence, a lot of just kind of physical fitness to match City the entire way and push them to really string some nice moves together to force that goal through.
I'm totally with you on that, by the way. Like, 100% agree that City probably will struggle, and I'd say arguably the first half, and Leeds may look on top, but as soon as Leeds concede one, I think that's where City will probably capitalise more, and that's where we might start seeing, like, the three, maybe fours, but I generally do probably predict that it's going to be like a two-goal margin that City will win by, and if Leeds do get a goal, then City will probably score three, and if Leeds get another, score two, then City will probably score four. Like, that's the way it's going to go, I think.
So by that, City are now winning 9-3. There's a way that's added up.
It's got Leeds in the game, by the way. You never
you're right.
Know.
You're very right. You never know what Leeds is going to show up. I reckon Ederson's going to have a big hand to play in this game, just in terms of. I didn't even know I'd made that joke, Struan. Thank you for making me aware of how funny I am.
No problem.
The sarcasm, obviously. I just think Leeds are really going to push for the opening half, as you said, Taylor. I think they're really going to go at City. And I think Bamford, he's fluffed his lines a fair bit, but he has been effective in front of goal this season in his kind of first season back in the Premier League. So I think if he's getting the service, I think Ederson's going to need to kind of come up quite big on a few occasions to deny him. But I think for FPL, maybe Sterling for midfield. I know he's pricey. He's, I think, 11 point something million at the moment. I've got it actually here. So 11.3 million at the moment, which is a lot of money, especially when De Bruyne is only 0.6 more expensive. But I think he's the exact kind of player that's going to kind of worm his way through that Leeds defence and kind of unlock it for City to get the win. Struan, what do you think though? How do you think this game's going to go?
I'm going to go for a 3-0 Man City win. I think they'll dominate a lot of the possession, possibly tire Leeds out a little bit and just take advantage, really. I think they'll have their tails up, especially after a really good performance in the Europa League. The Champions League. I'm talking about the bigger competition for a second there.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Although part of me does feel at the same time that they do have that kind of cushion in the league now that Guardiola may rest a couple of big hitters for this one and focus on the next leg against Dortmund, in which case possibly could see Leeds getting something. I mean, Man City squad depth is absolutely ludicrous, so even when they do rest players, the team is still the best in the league. It's quite crazy, to be honest. So I'd fancy a City win, whatever. I'll go for 3-0 with the key man to be Riyad Mahrez. I think he is just such a good player.
Yeah, he's very good when he's on, but then he looks anonymous when he's not. It's a very hot and cold player. I think he's been the exact same way since he's been at City, just probably due to the fact that he's not starting week in, week out like he was at Leicester. Cam, what about you? How do you see it going?
I think, you know, I've looked at, like, Leeds haven't even been in good form recently. I think maybe a 2-0 City. I think I'm almost definitely going to leave it with the Leeds players. I think probably Key Man. I'm not sure who will play him about Struan. I think they might rotate quite a bit. So I'm going to say Key Man on the pitch and in FPL terms, because the only one I can think of that will actually play, watch him get benched now, is Ruben Diaz. Mm. I'm going to say him for key player. But yeah, 2-0 City, I think.
I think he just had a price rise in FPL in the last couple of days.
And John Stones went down, I believe. Yeah.
Ooh. Controversial. Controversial. Mm-hmm. I wonder who's got more points, actually. Maybe worth just have a wee quick look. Taylor, I can't remember. Did you actually give like a full prediction, or did you just kind of?
Yeah, no, I think I said one by two goals, but an actual proper score line, I'm going to go 3-1 City.
3-1 City.
With, you know, as I said earlier, Mara's been the one on the pitch and Diaz being the fantasy.
There you go. Just check there. Diaz has 11 more points than John Stones. Diaz,
I didn't know Cancelo had that much, by the way. He has the same as Stones.
Same as Stones, right? Only 11 of a difference. Diaz on 133, Cancelo and Stones on 122.
Very decent.
Hopefully Cancelo starts this weekend and scores 3 goals because he's in my team. Anyway, let's move on and let's talk about the final game in our premium picks section. And Cam, we're talking about your boys because we're going up to Anfield, talking about Liverpool taking on Aston Villa.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both teams got wins in their last weekend. Liverpool won a pretty big game, a 3-0 win away at Arsenal that really kind of propelled them back up into contention for the top four spots. And Villa, on the other hand, welcomed Fulham to Villa Park and handily dispatched them 3-1. Liverpool are kind of getting their players back at the exact right time of the season, Cam, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And this is just a start of like a really bad run for Villa. Like, Villa have shocking fixtures in their running. I think if you're going by like the difficulty of the fixtures on the FPL app, I think none of them are below like 4. Maybe only 1 or 2 are like 3s. Whereas Liverpool are the opposite. They've only got like one tough game. I think it's away to United. They still have to play. Mm. But yeah, definitely. All their players come back at a good time. Probably at the Champions League as well, so unless they mount an amazing Anfield comeback, as you'd expect, they're probably
Just be able to focus on the Premier League, and maybe that's a good thing. Try and get top four, as he should be getting. But yeah, definitely, this should be a good game for Liverpool. I think Villa might drop off here a little bit. It should be a bit of a shame, but I can just see them sort of their seasons faltering a little bit. And I think Liverpool should definitely be getting a win here.
I think their season's going to falter even more, because I don't know if you saw the Sky Sports headline this morning, but
no, I didn't.
Jack Grealish has suffered another setback in a rehab from injury. So 100%. He's out for even more than was originally planned. So he's out for a further few weeks. And I think just without Grealish, they've not looked anywhere near as threatening.
No, definitely not. No.
So I think I'm back in Liverpool to win here. But I mean, you might factor in the kind of midweek fixture. Obviously, Liverpool kind of were starting to build a little bit. They won against Wolves before the international break, and then they got a big win against Arsenal. You think, okay, they might be picking up a bit of traction, a bit of steam here. And then Real Madrid happened midweek. So do you think that kind of might knock them out of that growing rhythm and give Villa a chance this weekend?
I don't know. Maybe like just the typical like travel and all that. But I don't think you can ever be too downhearted at losing 3-1 to Real Madrid. I think they'll be boosted a little bit that they've got an away goal. I think we've seen Anfield comebacks before, but even without fans, if you've only got two goals to get over, maybe harsh to say a not brilliant Real Madrid team. That is quite harsh, but I'm going to say it anyway.
The Real Madrid teams we've seen in our lifetimes, I mean...
Yeah, exactly. It's not as good as in the past, is it? Like, definitely takeable, anyway. Like a beatable Real Madrid team. And you can definitely get a 2-0 result to take that to extra time. So I think Liverpool players... It's not a great result, you've lost 3-1, but they'll definitely not be like distraught by it. They can turn up to Villa, who are now, as you said, missing Jack Grealish. Some of their recent results have been very poor. I think they lost to Sheffield United, I might be wrong, maybe they just squeezed past them recently. But no, I think Liverpool will be quite confident heading into this one, which is a good thing after just a season that's got worse and worse and worse as it's went on. So
they did lose to Sheffield United 1-0 at the beginning of March.
They didn't
win in March at all.
Oh, really?
Four games played, two draws and two losses.
Yeah, really poor. I think we can see maybe Villa dropping away a bit, but I don't know, one or two signings for next season, maybe compete again.
It's a shame as well, because I've quite enjoyed watching Villa this season. I think it's been a quite entertaining team.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I didn't watch the 7-2. Just saying that now.
I think I was sat in the flat. I don't know, did I watch it? I must have done. I can't remember. It was in October. That's a lifetime ago.
I remember I was on Xbox with a Man United fan, and I just like kept going, that's 5, that's 6, that's 7. Jeff on my flash course is broke.
Literally so just bad. What happened to him just a few hours before as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the Liverpool Mark Goldbridge, the big bald guy.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we'll not see our boys doing that.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, he's not going to concede 6 like that other guy.
It's fucking 7. Honestly, that is the most cringe moment of the season.
He didn't concede 6.
I mean, I love the introduction to that, the Liverpool Mark Goldbridge.
He basically is.
That could be the title. That might be last week's title.
Not nearly as likeable. Hey, we scored 2 goals, they only scored 1. Big.
There you go, exactly.
Pog.
That's a big dog.
Liverpool finished with 11 men, Man United didn't.
Discipline, mate. It's all about discipline.
Game. Levels to this game.
Oh, please move on. Please. For a cry.
Stuart, bring it back here. We've just mentioned there the kind of inconsistent run and the kind of poor run that Villa have been on. And without Jack Grealish, should it kind of be time to start looking to move Villa assets on from your team? I mean, I'd imagine most folk will have maybe an Ezri Konsa, a Mings, a target in their defence. A fair few folk will have Ollie Watkins as a moderate option up front for getting a goal and an assist. What do we reckon? Should we start parting company, or should we kind of hold on, because they do kind of have good point for value, points per like money value. You know what I mean?
I'd hold on to Watkins. I think he's still a bit of a threat, but as a whole, I just don't think the Aston Villa team is quite the same without Grealish. They are still good, but they're not quite at the same level. I'm not the biggest fan of their defence. I think Martinez is a really good keeper, though.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I have had him on quite a few occasions this year in fantasy, and I would stick by him if you don't want to go for the really expensive choices. But other than that, I think it's quite difficult to really back an Aston Villa player, just on current form at the moment without Grealish being there. You know, Traore, Trezeguet, etc. on the wings, El Ghazi, they have these bursts of form throughout the season, but it never seems to amount to anything when after three or four games they just seem to disappear again.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I think Watkins is probably a good option to keep just because we've highlighted it before. Strikers are just a bad investment this year in fantasy. Like, there's no clear-cut world-class striker apart from Kane or maybe Vardy. But then they are 10 million plus each. So for a kind of cheaper option, you're better looking at likes of Watkins alongside Antonio and Bamford. So I think out of everyone, you'd want to keep him. I think I've got Mings in my team, but he will be absolutely dropped to the bench this weekend. Taylor, what about you? Like, how do you see this game going? Because we've kind of looked at kind of all kind of conceivable angles with this game. I mean, with Liverpool's midweek travels, Villa's kind of lack of Grealish, everything. How do you see this game going?
I want to say it would be standard where Liverpool win this, but it's just going with Liverpool this season, nothing is standard, and like, it could be an upset and it might not. So I'm going to say avoid Villa players, but also probably only stick your high-end avoid Villa players and stick your high-end Liverpool players in. And I'm saying that where I have no option other than have target in my defence, so it's going to be a wee bit a worry for me if, you know, Liverpool go on a rampage against Villa, you know, getting payback. But yeah, there's no other way about it. Just this could just probably be a standard, you know, bread and butter, in and out, 3 points for Liverpool, and that's it. So yeah, I'm going to say that this could probably finish 3-0 Liverpool, and your key men will probably be Salah for both. I'm going to say Salah for both. He's just
Salah for both.
You know, yeah, Salah for both. That's, I don't have a reason why. I just know for a fact Salah.
It's a fairly safe bet, regardless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a player for both, and it's not Salah, but it's Diogo Jota. I'm begging he'll play, and I probably should have asked Cam first because I've just went and transferred him into my team. But no, I think Jota's Liverpool play better when Jota is in the team, and I think that's a fairly easy statement to make this season, especially. I think he's been fantastic, and he's looked just as good since he came back from his injury in the last few weeks. So I think he's going to be inspired in this game, and that is why Liverpool are going to win 2-0. Struan, give us a prediction.
I'll go 3-0 to Liverpool, and I have Jota and Salah in my team, so right, I'll go with Mane to be the key man.
What?
Do you not like that, Taylor?
No, it's not a bad shout, but it's just the fact is, your two players that you have in your team, I thought, yeah, he's going to go for one of the other. I just didn't expect
I just wanted to be different. We've had the Salah and the Jota shout, so I thought I'd go for the other man and go for Mane.
Yeah, fair. I'll give you that.
Yeah, fair.
Cam, what about you? How do you see it panning out then?
I'm like to our bread and bar. I'm going to say 3-0 Liverpool. I don't know, I'm sure they'll turn it on this game. I've got only one Liverpool player. I brought him in because he had a beautiful moustache and it's now gone, so I'm quite upset.
Alisson, oh.
Good old Alisson. Because I had Mesley and Martinez, and both of them have quite poor fixtures.
They do, right. You're right.
They'd be my goalies all season as well, but I thought, no, I need a change. I've already used my -4 on someone else, so I'll tell later, but...
Kane.
I really... Oh, yeah, I did say.
Kane. Alisson's your -4.
Aye. But I'm finally making that a -8 because... Diego Jota is a great shout, Jack.
Stop putting that -8 into my mind, because I'm considering doing a -8 as well, and really? I don't like it. I've done a -4.
We'll do it together,
and I'll reveal it, and we'll reveal it in
lockdown. I'll consider that. I'm really considering getting Jota. But for me, that is basically my two key players. I'm going to say key player on the pitch, Alisson, but key player for fantasy, Diogo Jota, especially for his price. Like, you'd be daft.
Just shy of 7 million, so absolutely.
Yeah, amazing.
Well worth it.
Jack, do I know it would be bold? You take a -12 hit though.
Why would I do that, Taylor?
Because see, if you think about it, you take a -12 hit, right? She's just above the 1600 point mark. I'm at 1560. So
Taylor, I want to close the gap on Jamie above me, not you below me. That's how football leagues work.
Yeah, but
like you want to get as high as you possibly can.
I'm just getting in your head, mate. Because I'm gonna make you you're gonna panic and think, oh, I should have went for that 12-point hit now.
I don't think I am considering I'm at a minus four just now.
I don't mean when I start catching you. I'm already catching you.
Are you?
Yeah.
I mean,
be worried.
I mean, proof would be in the league table, and I mean, I'm still a fair distance away from you. So.
Oh, no, you're still a fair distance, but, you know, after this weekend, it'll be, you know, shorter. And then at the weekend, that's what shorter.
He's going to keep... Taylor's going to somehow manage to glitch the system to have 1 point more than me each week up until the final weekend of the league, and then just pull something mental at the bag. It's going to be quite funny.
Oh, no, it'll be absolute scenes. Like, I'm going to do, like, Mourinho, man, where his way Porto just run the nine.
Run to
your local park.
That'll be you sprinting down through Wishaw to Troon then.
Yeah, just some touchline, by the way.
Well, if you manage to run the entire way through Wishaw to Troon, then fair play, you've won. Yeah,
he wins the league. I'll give the money for the league.
There you go. if you like set off from Wishaw one day and don't stop running until you get to Troon, you've won the league.
Wait, so hold on. How far is that? It's like. For me, that I'm pretty sure that's like
it'd be about an hour's drive.
It's an hour's drive, 52 mile.
They can run 52 mile. Don't bother.
That's two marathons.
You know what? If you wanted the league that much, you would.
Mm-hmm. Tempting. 13 hours walk. It says that's so
half that running. Exactly. You don't like
to... that's an hour's run.
Does this offer go to all panelists? Because I'm too far behind the table to catch you.
No, because you actually run. You actually do run. I'm not giving you that option. You know what? While we wait for Taylor to make his decision, we're going to come back shortly because we have finished up with premium picks for this week, and we're going to be discussing a few of the lesser games in this weekend's batch of fixtures in our next segment, Wildcard Options. So we're starting here with wildcard options. This is three fixtures that we didn't have an awful lot to say about, but still felt that they were worth mentioning. We're going to start, Taylor. I'm going to come to you first because this is involving the big bloody Hammers, because West Ham United are doing very, very well, and it's a massive, massive game for them this weekend. They have got Leicester City at home, and this is on track for an absolute belter of a game, and I'm really looking forward to it. What do you reckon?
Right. So, see, like usual, people say. I go on a wee bit too long. I'm going to keep this short and simple.
You ramble in the ramble, but just...
Yeah, I ramble. So, see this game. I'm going to sum it up with one thing. You ready?
One thing, right, okay.
So, West Ham versus Leicester is going to be a game full of... fire.
What was that? What did you hit there?
It's going to go out with a bang. That's what this game's going to go out
with. Taylor's sitting with fire crackers in his room.
I didn't just totally put a hole in, you know, a plastic.
Taylor just punched a hole in this house.
So, yeah, but what we know is this game's going to be an absolute banger. It's going to be great. And West Ham in fourth place seems. That's all it needs to be said for that.
Do you think you can get the win?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely, yeah. It's against Leicester. Leicester, like, they're on a downward spiral.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, well, if you look at it, like, West Ham are on the ascendancy. West Ham are just, you know, hovering about that fourth place. Like, they don't even know what's happening. They don't even know what Champions League football's got to be at the end of this.
Mate, they're comfortable in third, though. Even if West Ham win this weekend, they're still only a point behind. They're still a point ahead.
I'm totally ignoring the fact that they didn't lose in March, by the way, because that doesn't suit my argument, right?
No, they didn't lose in March, no.
But they lost 3-1 to Arsenal. Like, come on. And then they lost 2-1 to Aston Villa. No, 1-2-1 against Aston Villa. Sorry.
the last time they lost, they've lost how many times this year? They've lost three times this year in all competitions. Four times, sorry, my mistake.
Right, I'm not going to lie. I'm only trying to build a case. The fact is West Ham's going to beat Leicester, right? And the fact is Leicester may be 4 points ahead, but they're going to be sitting in that fifth place by the end of the season. You heard it here first. Like,
I mean, I'm not doubting that West Ham have been good and they're sitting in a good position. But they bottled a 3-0 lead against Arsenal and then they almost bottled a 3-0 lead against Wolves last week.
Yeah, but funny. You need to make it entertaining. it's an entertaining sport. You need to at least get the fans excited. You need to get... It's a hope that will kill the other team. They think, oh, we could get this. Then they lose all 3 points. So That's what's going to happen. West Ham have got Lingardinho.
Lingardinho.
Yeah, so this is going to happen. West Ham are going to win. And this is not just me because I want them to win. I generally do believe they will win. It will be tight, but, you know, it's going to be a 2-1 win to West Ham. And they're going to be 1 point behind Leicester. 4 points ahead of Chelsea. They're sitting in the Champions League places. They're going to the Champions League, Jack.
Who, West Ham?
Yeah, scenes.
Okay, let's clip that and let's revisit that come the end of the season. That could that could be one for the one for the group chat. He said it now, so there's no point taking it back. I'm looking forward to it. I think Lingard's going to hopefully do a madness again. Although, what do I want from this game? Because I'm in an interesting position because this game could potentially affect Chelsea depending on how they get on. I think
for you, you'd want a West Ham draw.
A draw would suit best. Yeah, like a 2-2 or something like that. Or, well, any sort of scoreline, I don't really care.
But at worst, a Leicester win, I'd say.
I think I'd want a West Ham win more if Chelsea won. Because then that brings Leicester closer to us as well.
Big brain.
So, come on, you Irons this weekend, I suppose, in any case. Cam, I've mentioned them there. I'm going to come to you and talk about Chelsea against Crystal Palace, because you and I had a bit of a rough one last week, didn't we?
It ruined my week, as I said. I had a really below average week, and it was all down to one idiot. So, yeah.
Which, because, like, there's a lot of room for manoeuvrability with one idiot.
Sorry, I should say it was the 25 in that team. it was Thiago Silva's fault, but that's not how I had. I brought in Andreas Christensen, and it was double worse because I thought, oh, who will I bring in? Who will definitely start this game? Who will start it? And I went, oh, right, Azpilicueta or Christensen. I went, Christensen's cheaper, I'll go for him. He didn't start. Nope. He's on the bench. That made it so much worse.
And then he came on and conceded four?
Aye. I couldn't, like, in my bench, I had two players on the bench who got 6 points each. And I was like, oh, so if he doesn't come on, no problem. You're like, just stay on the bench. This is fantastic. I'll get 6 points. All good. And then he came on 33rd minute, and like you said, chipped four goals and got a minus one. And
I don't know. Did he get booked?
Nope, he actually just conceded that many goals.
Did he never concede five? It's because he never completed the full game.
Because I brought in Azpilicueta last week and got zero.
He done 57 minutes, not, like, I don't know if you get 60 even if you're not off the bench or whatever, but either way, so 1 point minus two, and then it's the worst transfer of the season for me, by far. But he's starting this week, though, for Chelsea away to Palace. He's back in my XI.
Lovely.
How was yours so bad? Who did you have again?
I had Azpilicueta. And I was Azpilicueta, he's going to come in captain. He's obviously going to start in the right centre-back. That's probably probably his most consistent position for Chelsea. Had an absolute stinker, mate. I mean, the whole team did, because Jorginho decided his back passes to Thiago Silva were just going to be so average that he ended up getting two yellow cards and sent off. So I was fuming, but... You know what, I was alright because I was like, oh, as long as here don't lose to Clyde. So, yeah. Saturday night was not fun for me.
Cracking weekend. Cracking weekend for the boys.
Yeah. Should bounce back. Palace are bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they helped you and I, Palace, on Monday night, I suppose. So we kind of do owe them something.
I don't know. I just think they're a bit... shit, and I love Roy Hodgson. I like half that team as well. I actually just like Palace as a team, but I don't know. They drew against United recently, but then got thrashed with Spurs, beat West Brom, drew Everton. Not awful, but I just think Chelsea. Despite last week's disappointment, I think Chelsea will bounce back here, and I think it could be a fairly routine win for the Blues.
Big win in midweek as well. Away to Porto in Spain.
I think. I can see this being like a free. I don't know about a clean sheet. I hope there's a clean sheet, of course. But I think like a 3 or 4 now. I'm sitting here. I think Chelsea could really bounce back, even if they're away from home.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I can see a good result for
Timo hat trick.
Oh, that's bold. Mm-hmm. If it happens, no. I'm gonna be really happy.
You know, I said that as a joke. Timo brace. I'm saying it. Timo Werner brace. Calling it now. If he plays, he'll get a brace. Two goals.
I hope he doesn't play, to be honest. give it Pulisic and Hudson-Odoi either side of Abraham.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually do agree with you.
And then Mountain Canter,
we
love it.
We want
is that not a risk of Pulisic's hamstring, though? I think Timo Werner should definitely be starting.
he's been running at the ground. Give him a rest, man.
See when he went on international duty, and you thought, all right, he'll get it back.
That,
Germany.
No, we don't need to talk about the Germany.
That miss that cost him the game. Oh.
It's like Germany's first ever World Cup qualifying group stage loss under Joachim Löw as well.
You see what you've done to this man? It's pathetic.
You broke him.
You've actually broke
Jack
broke
as well.
given Chelsea's track record of having some good strikers turn up and do not much, I don't think I'm to blame here.
Yeah, but we've had good strikers turn up and do good.
I know.
Had Costa.
So it's not me.
Had Drogba. Had Hasselbank. That's going really far back.
I think of someone recent, Jack. Someone that was alive in our lifetimes, mate. Come on.
Costa, come on.
Remember that?
Oh, shut up, man.
Gonzalo Higuain.
That was good for a bit. And then
Torres?
Mate,
was he? Was that good?
He was alright.
Falcao
played 4 games and scored 1 goal.
It's a no bad record.
And a 2-1 loss to Crystal Palace. I remember that vividly. Alex Pato played 2 games, scored a penalty, and was never seen again. Struan, let's talk about Brighton versus Everton. Okay, I'll not wait for a response, and that's fine.
Okay,
I'm gonna be like that. Brighton have looked a lot better recently. I think we can all agree that, and Everton have been a lot more stop start. So this could kind of be a game that could throw up a bit of a shock. Do you?
I hope so. I'm a big fan of Brighton. I think they play really attractive football under Potter. I don't understand how they don't put the ball in the back of the net enough, though. That really does confuse me. But I just think they're just really well set up. The amount of times they change system throughout a game. And I think they've got the right sort of balance of exciting young players as well as some more experienced heads, the likes of Lallana and Welbeck, who've been there and done it all. And I think slowly but surely they are getting better. I think next season we will see a much better Brighton side. And as for Everton just seem to come bad at the wrong moment, if that makes sense. Every time it looks like they're going to take advantage of other teams dropping points, they just seem to just slip up at the wrong times. They never seem to take those points and they really need them. I mean, I can't think of a better way to say it there. Yeah. But, you know, against Crystal Palace, it looked like they were going to push for the 50-point mark. You know, I think that would have taken them near enough the top four, and then Palace equalised late on. Calvert-Lewin missed a few chances in that game as well. So I think it's quite a tough one with Everton. I expect Everton to win this game. I think this is going to be one of them where they need to get their heads straight and, you know, just get another win under their belt to push for those European places. But I think this could be a really exciting game, to be honest, because obviously Brighton do need to go for it. You know, I watched them against Man United last week, and I think they played really well. It was just, they just got outplayed in the second half. They couldn't really get anything from it. But I think they showed enough last week to say, look, you know, they can compete with the best teams in the league. They just need to just take more of the chances, really, and just play the football that they know how to. I'm a big fan of Robert Sanchez, the goalkeeper, actually. I think he's really good.
Called up to Spain as well for his performance. Yeah. It's been fantastic.
Ridiculous. He was like fifth choice at the start of the season, apparently, for Brighton. And then
fifth choice.
He's in the national team. It's crazy, yeah. That's, I think, Dunk as well. We spoke about him 3 weeks ago or something on the Fantasy Ramble. Big fan of Lewis Dunk. I think he's a really good centre half.
Mm. I'll be pre-lid, but I've kind of included him in the locked-in 11 as a decent option for people. I think if they wanted to kind of bring in a cheaper defender that might get a wee couple of points this weekend, I would kind of hedge bets on Lewis Dunk, to be honest. I could see him doing something against Everton. I think that is going to round up wildcard options. Oh, wait, no, Brexit game of the week. Anyone want to guess?
I can't remember who they're playing, but it's Newcastle.
It's Burnley versus
Newcastle. Oh, my goodness.
Quite comfortable.
Not a contest.
Deitch and Bruce, oh my days.
Oh, this is Brexit as it gets.
Oh, yeah. I reckon Burnley, it's either a 0-0 draw or a Burnley win. 1-0 with Chris Wood scoring a goal.
Joe Linton hat-trick.
Oh, shut up.
I have said it.
He only scores against Spurs.
I have said it.
That's the boldest shout we've ever had in this show, that Joe Linton and actually scored more than one goal.
If Joe Linton scores a hat-trick against Burnley, do we hand me the title for FPL this season?
No.
Okay.
Only if you run to me or Jack.
Yes.
Okay.
I really want to run to you at Jack.
If Joe Linton does score a hat-trick, though, I am shameless about that.
Oh, yeah, you will be shameless. And I don't. You can be shameless. I'll give you that. I'll allow you that. You can be shameless.
Do you know what, I'm almost tempted to bring him in at my fantasy team now. I've already made my transfer, but I've sort of just given up at this point in the season. It's just about the memes, isn't it? You know, bring Joe Linton
just
in.
Just in case something.
Week 31.
Do you know what, I'm transferring Ollie Watkins out right now for Joe Linton as we speak.
Are you actually?
Yep.
Do it.
I'll screen record it then.
Oh my God. Well, while Struan does that, we are just going to bring this segment to an end. But we will be back in a little moment with our final segment, the Locked In 11. So we're going to round out the show with our Locked In 11 as usual. This is where we look at games we've talked about, games we haven't, and try and pull together the best set of players for you to succeed in your mini leagues this weekend. We start off with goalkeepers and defenders at the same time, because of course they all benefit from clean sheet points. So, Mr. Wanstall, who are you backing to keep some clean sheets in the Premier League this weekend?
I am playing Alisson in goals, as I've already mentioned. As I've already mentioned, I've got Diaz and Christensen as well. Joachim Andersen, who's got Wolves at home, because Wolves just don't seem to score a lot this season. I've currently got in Wan-Bissaka, but if I do that minus 8 we're talking about, I might drop him for Jota, should I bring Jota in. But yeah, so definitely Alisson, Diaz, Christensen and Andersen for now.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff. Struan, how about yourself?
I have got Alisson's compatriot Ederson in goal, as well as his teammate Ruben Diaz, Reece James, Luca Digne, and Andrew Robertson.
And oh, he went full name, Andrew.
Andrew.
Andrew. Sandy.
Oh, Andy's coming.
Sandy. Taylor, what about yourself?
So I have went with Ederson in goals with Target, Azpilicueta, Shaw, Creswell.
What was that name there?
Target.
No, the Chelsea boy.
Azpilicueta.
Right, just wanted to isolate that one, that's good.
How?
That's what you do. Azpilicueta.
No. Well, Dave.
Aye, there you go. Aye, that works.
Yeah, that's just a back five of me just hoping to at least get three out.
Back five? You playing? Yeah. Are you playing all five?
Yeah, I'm playing all five.
Oh, wow. That's bold.
Yeah, man, I'm going bold. Go back or go home.
So, yeah, I'll give you it.
So,
Like my friend Struan, I'm also playing Ederson in goal. I have João Cancelo. I have Azpilicueta. I have Ola Aina, teammate of Joachim Andersen, who is becoming a favourite on this podcast after the last episode. I would also recommend a couple of other names. Pope and Burnley defenders. I think Burnley are probably due a decent clean sheet against Newcastle last weekend.
You got to remember who Newcastle's front man is.
Yeah, exactly why Burnley are going to keep a clean sheet, because you've just brought him in.
Yeah, good point.
He's got a point.
I'd chuck Mendy in goal potentially for Chelsea, and then any Chelsea defender that you reckon will start, I'd imagine probably bring Rudiger back in place of the suspended Thiago Silva. I'm sad because I think Zuma's just getting phased at the team and I don't like it. It hurts my feelings. And Lewis Dunk, as I said earlier, might be a decent option. Up into midfield, Struan, who's your creative force in your team this weekend?
So one of the people who I brought in was Diogo Jota. He's in there with his teammate Mo Salah. I've also got Riyad Mahrez and Mason Mount. I've got Smith Rowe on the bench, who I'm very tempted to bring in as well.
Oh, I like that. I like that shout. Away to Sheffield United. That could work wonders, actually. Taylor, what about you?
So I have got Lingardinho in the midfield, who is my captain, with Bruno Fernandes, Mount and De Bruyne.
That's an expensive midfield.
Very expensive. Like, I'm actually skint everywhere else now. But, you know, as I said earlier, go big or go home.
Go big or go home. I like it. Cam, round us out.
I have got, like I said, I might bring in Jota, but the four that I've got just now is Bruno Fernandes, Heung-Min Son, Thomas Suchek, and my vice-captain this week is Jesse Lingard.
Lovely stuff.
I think it's quite a basic midfield, but it's a fairly reliable midfield.
It is a reliable midfield. Do you want to know mine? Yeah.
Go for it.
Bruno Fernandes, Mason Mount, Bukayo Saka, who's making his return off the bench, and then my two transfers for this week, Captain Diogo Jota.
Nice.
And Lingardium Leviosa.
Love it.
Jesse Lingard has come into my team at the expense of his teammate Thomas Suchek, which I'm a bit upset about because I love the tatty salad, man. But does anyone know where that comes from, by the way? Like, why
he just said that? He just said that in an interview once, didn't he?
Yeah, he said he was missing it because he ate it quite a lot at home, but because they never—I don't think he managed to get home at Christmas, so he was missing it.
Okay, yeah, well,
it just became a thing.
Good, nice and wholesome. We like that from our Premier League midfielders. Let's finish off with strikers. Struan, we know yours. Or well, are you playing three, or are you just playing Werner and Joe Linton?
I'm just playing my captain, Timo Werner, and Joe Linton. I've got Patrick Bamford on the bench, but yeah, he's going to stay on the bench.
I also have Patrick Bamford on the bench.
So do I.
Do you guys have Joe Linton in the starting 11?
Funnily enough, no.
Do we, fuck?
Well, that would explain why you're higher in the league than I am.
Go on, who have you got then, Cam?
Who have I got? I've got Jamie Vardy and Captain Harry Kane.
Oh, expensive strike force.
Can I just say, if Struan's strike force gets more points than me this week, just leaving the league. Wrap it up.
Taylor, what about you?
I've went back and I've went home. I went with just Richarlison up front. Single one man. One man, one army.
That doesn't mean I don't, Taylor.
Why would you go home?
That's where you just said you had a three-man midfield.
No, I had a four-man midfield.
I could have sworn you used three names.
No, I said Lingard, Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, Lingard as well. Okay, that makes more sense. I was so confused. I was like, how have you managed to get one striker and when you've got another player left? That makes perfect sense now. My apologies.
Yeah, so 5-4-1 is going to get me 541 points. Oh, if only that was possible.
Genuinely don't think that's physically possible. But so,
right. Not without Joe Linton in the team.
Sharp soon.
Okay.
Mention his name one more time, I swear to God. I dare you.
I've got Calvert-Lewin and Ollie Watkins.
Oh my God.
There you
see,
go.
That's a sensible choice, Jack. I like that.
Thanks, mate.
Do you know how earlier in the show we were talking about fantasy team names? What's the thoughts on Billy Joel and Joel?
Right, no, thankfully we're ending this podcast here because that's the worst bit of pattern we've had all day. That is going to bring this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much for everyone listening. Make sure
I'm
to
sick.
I know you're going to be sick. I'm going to be sick. Make sure to subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your podcasts and make sure to follow us over on Twitter to make sure you never miss an episode there. Thank you very much to Cameron Wanstall, Taylor Money and Struan Garvey for joining me today. It's been a pleasure as always. He's not last, Sean's last.
No, I meant last and thanking him for being on this. There's a reason why you put Joe Linton. You're ruining a guy's career that's already ruined. Have some morals. The guy needs help.
Check out the football roundup on Monday and extra time next Thursday before you return on Friday as usual. Also, make sure to head over and listen to the big football quiz from April to hear the worst performance actually come across. Thank you to Mr. Taylor Money for that. Until then, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening and we'll see you next time.